My name is Joe Trier, and welcome back to Rime of the Frost Maiden. Before we start today's tale, let us journey to another place, another reality no further away than the thickness of a shadow, but that shares an uncanny resemblance to Icewind Dale under Auriel's spell. Our camera flies over a bottomless ocean of inky blackness, covered by thick sheets of ice. This is Stygia, the fifth layer of the nine hells. We fly on through the frozen emptiness, devoid of life. The only sound, other than the howling wind, is arcs of lightning that strike from the coal-black sky, wreathing the mountainous icebergs in cold fire. One mountain stands higher than the others, a crystal clear berg of blue ice that stands miles above the roiling oceans beneath. And as we approach, we see deep within the mountain center is a shape, a dark silhouette, a figure frozen in agony, a rime-covered bearded man imprisoned inside this mighty iceberg. As we approach closer, he looks up at us and he winks. We return now to Icewind Dale, where our three surviving characters have returned from the second trial of the Frost Maiden. And as the ice that has encased them for who knows how long breaks around them, they stand shivering and cold in front of the door that now has the symbol of cruelty glowing upon it. Owen, welcome back to the show. How are you doing and who are you playing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I am playing pretty shook up Zalfiz. He's currently on 22 hit points and has 3 levels of exhaustion. He's my gnome artificer, an all-around good guy, I guess.
Guy, he is a stretch.
Good guy, Zalfiz is practical. He's a great guy. You're right.
And Niall, welcome back. Tell us about your character.
I'm Gon. I'm the Firbolg Druid, who is also...
a good guy.
he actually is a good guy. yeah, I had lots of health in the last episode. Now I don't have lots. I'm also quite low. I'm on the bottom third of my hit points. And yeah, we just came back from our last trial and Graham wasn't there. So,
hey, he was given the option. Auriel is a cruel, cruel mistress.
I mean, he was holding back this group. We could go on to bigger and better things.
I have two levels of exhaustion.
I think Joe just passed his own personal trial of cruelty, right?
I was just warming up.
Well, yeah, we'll see. And our last character tonight, welcome back, Virginia. Tell us about Kestra.
Kestra is a tiefling warlock bounty hunter who is not doing too great with her 2 hit points right now. But, you know, is happy to be alive after that trial and diving to find the body of a goddess. That was creepy.
No, but ultimately successful. And I think that event, whether it was you perpetrating it or whether it was one that happened in the distant past, started the whole story, which you now take part in. There is no sign of Graham. After he failed the trial of endurance, his character within or on top of the mountain crumbled away into ice. And as the imprisonment that has encapsulated you for so long breaks away, you look around and there is no sign of your once companion.
Thanks for listening. That's the end of the podcast. guys, Graham's... Where's Graham? He's... Do I see anything anywhere? Like, where he was standing? Who was the first one to touch him? It was Zalfiz, wasn't it?
To touch Graham after he went in?
Yeah.
This is the second trial. I don't think we
did it differently, yeah. do we see anything where he was standing?
Give me an investigation.
Okey-dokey. Oh, you know what? I should probably get into roll 20.
Just move some snow aside. There he is.
Yeah.
He's standing
you
right
rapscallion.
You scallywag.
You
gotta start rolling 30s on your stealth.
Yeah. He's just hidden really well. Sorry, I forgot to log into roll 20. Good practice. I will roll. If anyone else wants to roll while I'm doing this, go ahead.
Why don't you roll investigate? I'll give one to Aquinas. We'll go to plus five.
I'll give it a go too.
I got a plus zero.
So I have rolled 7. I am very shook up and exhausted after my long journey into the snowy place.
And remember, if you have 2 levels of exhaustion, you need to roll with disadvantage.
I rolled a 14.
Okay, just in case I get a crit fail and die.
Did you say 2 levels?
Yeah.
I believe the second 13. Level of exhaustion. So with a 14 and a 13,
that wasn't with disadvantage, so I'll roll again now. Because I hate my... Oh, look at that, 14 was my lowest. Yeah.
Okay, so you search the ice beneath your feet, and it is mirror smooth and incredibly slippery. There's no sign of marks, and in fact, there's no sign of Graham at all.
There's an earring on the ground I can take, no?
But presumably you sort of like look around a bit, you might even poke your head out into the main room that you came on. The only thing that's different is before there was an enormous walrus sitting in a kind of makeshift nest. That walrus is no longer there.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
The walrus couldn't climb the mountain either.
Maybe the walrus took Graham away.
This is a giant walrus, the same proportions as a regular earth walrus.
Maybe it took Graham away?
Hopefully.
I don't know. He wasn't with us at the top of the mountain. So he didn't complete the trial, right?
No, he froze down below.
Maybe we should ask the orb what happened. The professor orb.
Maybe I should give you the orb, because I'm always the one who forgets about it. I'll take out the orb.
It's professor, actually.
All right.
Professor
our friend,
Scant, not that anyone has bothered asking.
I believe I asked before and you didn't give me an answer, but thank you for that.
Are you talking out loud right now?
Yeah, I am.
I think Kestra wants to chime in with, you didn't bother to ask us our names either.
Professor Scant.
Eddie, he seems a bit taken aback by that.
Anyway,
but normally it would be polite society for you to make introductions. I am the guest. I have joined your party, as it were. My name is Professor Kant, the ancient city of Netheril. I have over 2,000 years old, and I have expertise in many things, from elven wine to the mighty Tarrasque.
Well, then it should have occurred to you that maybe, you know, the people who found you and saved you from forever being stuck in a frozen wasteland, that you might want to introduce yourself and ask them who they are before they pick you up and ask you questions.
Also, elven wine and the Tarrasque isn't very helpful right now.
I never said it was. I was just introducing myself. They are my areas of study. Well,
anyway.
Do you have a question for me? If not, I'd rather just go back to my...
Yes, we were doing a trial. Our friend failed, I guess. He's not here. What happened to him?
Well, he's dead, of course. I thought that was clear. And we've had this discussion before.
But
the trials are life or death. If you fail the trials, you fall away from Auriel's domain forever. You are no more.
We'll fall away from her domain. Does that mean he was kicked out?
Does that mean he escaped the deal? That seems like a win.
Yeah.
To be honest, I just think it's a euphemism for being dead.
But in the first trial, we were in our own bodies, and it made sense that made sense to a certain extent, that if we got hurt, it would hurt us. But we weren't ourselves in the last trial.
You die in the Matrix, you die in real life.
Doing the trials is plugging in.
I should have let the Ken voice. It would have been gold.
I know Kung Fu.
Sorry, Joe.
Sorry,
you're scary. You're scary.
We didn't mean to interrupt you, Orb. Please go on.
No, it's fine. I'm used to it. Gosh, if I had my body back, I would make you pay. Anyway, where were we? I assume that if you're joining the trials, you are putting yourself forward to become one of Auriel's chosen. If you're not worthy, then she is hardly a kind goddess. She's not going to say, oh, you know, never mind, second place, good on you for joining in, you know, participation. No, she just kills you. Like, I would postulate that he's dead.
Where did his body go, though?
Why was he made into a cool ice statue like everyone else? Like, we could have kept him around for morale.
Well, I mean, you have been gone rather a long time.
How long?
Well, the first trial was... it's difficult to tell down here, and I got a bit distracted with a bit of research myself, but days? Maybe about 7 days? The second trial was much longer. You've been gone. That was more than a 10-day.
Oh, wow.
At this point, Kestra, like, against the wall of ice behind her, just, like, slumps to the floor with her hands on her knees, and she's like, well, now that explains why we all feel like hell. She looks absolutely ruined, by the way. Like, she's not doing good.
Yeah, you're not in a good place. At that, and seeing Kestra, I would like to cast a... I don't know how useful it will be, but I will cast a Cure Wounds on Kestra because she's pretty
she's
freaking
really
beat
up.
Like, that would be 1d8 plus 5. What do we got?
Isn't it weird how
you've never seen a red tiefling start to go blue, but it's looking that way. like
that, when you said, I'm not sure if it'll do anything, I thought you were going to...
That's 8 points.
Cast Pass Without a Trace.
Hold on, guys. We've been gone for a long time. That means my Pass Without a Trace has ran out.
I have a whole 10 hit points now, which is way better than what I was on.
There we go.
I'm going to...
Well, the one thing that we were always told is that Auriel will not abide anyone on her island. She senses even if you step foot upon it, a single toe, and she is aware of your position and can teleport to where you are. Potentially, the only reason that she's put up with your presence is because you're here on a, you know, like a journey to become one of her chosen. If Graham failed, maybe she appeared and killed him. That would be possible.
How distracted were you with your research if you said maybe she came and killed him?
I was in his pocket.
Okay, fair point. Fair point.
Seems odd.
Inside a block of murder, ice.
Auriel wants people to worship her. So why would she kill somebody if they were trying?
Well, if they failed to meet her standards. And to be honest, I'm not really sure she does want people to worship her. I mean, she's rather an oddity, isn't she? I mean, she's an evil, vain god.
Is she evil, though? Because in the last trial that we did, it looked like she got betrayed.
That sounds like something a follower would say. And to be fair, I am more inclined to follow her now we're down a person, if it means less, you know, Graham-esque results.
Zelf is the brave.
It's a practical solution to a very, very impractical problem.
And welcome the new fifth party member.
Well, I suppose in that case, if Auriel knows that we're here, the only reason she's tolerating our presence is because we're doing the trials. We have to decide if we're going to do the next one.
It looks like the next one is cruelty.
I mean, how can you tell? What is that symbol?
It's a symbol for cruelty.
Oh man, you took it away from Joe on the fly. Think of what cruelty looks like. It's a symbol.
All right.
While we're discussing the next piece, I'm going to cast two Cure Wounds, one for myself and one for Kestra as well. So the first one can be for you.
Just popping off our spells right now. I mean,
Kestra makes some comment about how she should have picked a patron who liked healing magic instead of fire.
So I've taken 9 healing, and you got max healing for Kestra with 13.
Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, that looks way better. Kestra manages to find it in her to stand up again now. The floor is cold, and she does not like it.
I have one spell left.
If she's always listening, if we called out to her now, would she appear?
Auriel? Question mark.
There is like a kind of rumble, and the frozen cavern above you does seem to creak, and there's this sort of like pouring of snowflakes, and you do wonder if it was a coincidence or not.
Let's try again. Selfish.
great, mighty Auriel, I am ready to worship you.
Oh no. Anything?
Nothing happens this time.
See, it made her happy.
Okay.
I'm going to do at least this trial. I mean, how bad can cruelty be?
I mean, by Oriel standards, I would imagine.
So far, nothing's been too horrible. We saved a child, and we fought some dragons, but we saved a child, and we recovered a body, Oriel's body, after she was struck down.
And we don't even know, like, the other people, like, that's not really Oriel that was saved. It was an image or a memory or something, an illusion. So, like, I don't mind torturing some illusions.
It's not like it's anything present happening, right? Everything happened in the past. It's already been. We're playing through some memory that's already long past.
What about you, Druid man? How do you feel about, you know, harming fellow beings?
Not good. I can only imagine what level of cruelty someone who's willing to cover the whole dale in an endless winter, what would this god consider cruel?
There's so many jokes to make.
We want to do the trial.
We have to take on
whatever it is. I mean, well, bounty hunting I think is what we I do have for a to. Living.
Do we have to? Kind. Did we not learn that you only have to pass half the trials?
Was that out of character? Is that something we learned, Joe?
It was a theory, but I don't think there's necessarily any weight to it.
Well, maybe you do this.
Well, Oriel's
not here yet. We've passed more than half the trials.
Yeah, and well, I am all about the not getting killed. So any trial I'm capable of attempting, I'm tempted to attempt.
If it's, I can put aside my beliefs. If it's just a flashback, if it's not real, I'm willing to try.
And if it appears to be more real than you believed it would be, will you stop us? Am I going to have to slap a giant?
I won't interfere with you, but I personally might stop myself. Whether that means life or death, I don't know. If it means rescuing the Dale, I might put my life ahead of everyone here's, so maybe I'll continue on with it. I don't know. I'll have to see what we're doing in the trial.
This is going to end up like Batman Forever, where it's me and Kestra in a pod, and you have to pick one.
You say that, it's like Kestra.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't hurt another, and he's pressed the button before he finishes.
Achoo!
I guess we're all in then? He turns to Kestra, who kind of.
Whichever way this ends, we end up in a frozen, icy wasteland. If we save the Dale, there might not be one. But if we fail the trial, frozen, icy death. If we leave here and don't try, eventually a frozen, icy death. So.
Yeah, and I want to get back to Mirabar and join the Council of Shining Stones, which is, you know, it's really cool. It's a big deal. And I can't do that. Shiny Stones, it's a mining town. I would like God to those people if that happens.
Then sounds like you're all going to step forward.
Yeah, I'll step forward and touch the thing of cruelty.
Okay, the symbol glows red as you ice entombs you all. Let us move our camera to another place and another time where Graham... You are falling through darkness as your spirit or your soul leaves your body and you are carried away to, well, whatever afterlife you follow. Do you follow a god, by the way? Does Graham have a religious...
No, he does not. He's he believes only in results.
Himself.
The god of gold.
The god of gold.
So you feel nothingness. For the first time in God knows how long, you aren't cold. You don't have that gnawing in your bones, that feeling of worry of where your next meals come from, and you just feel at peace and empty. And time passes. You don't know how much time, but it passes. And you feel yourself being carried away on a river of nothingness until you hear a voice, something calling you back, but back where? Huh. And I think I'm going to pass over to Aram.
Oh no.
Oh, this fucker.
Oh no.
Didn't expect you. Well, but it's good to see you.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What brought you here?
I refused to go up the mountain and I died of exhaustion.
Yes, well, it's a very difficult trial. It's tough being trapped in ice, being frozen, feeling that slowness wash over you, take control of you.
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Who do you think I am?
A nice person who's going to help me.
Yes, that's exactly who I am.
Well, I choose to believe.
So for everyone listening on the podcast, Graham stands before a 6 foot tall horned figure, strikingly handsome, but also horrendous in his countenance. And all around is nothingness, apart from a frozen wasteland glowing with an eerie orange light.
I've been helping you this whole time. A little bit of assistance here and there.
Huh.
I'll need some in return.
Need something in return? What do you need?
I'm trapped here as well, along with you.
Okay. Trapped where? Where are we?
I'm trapped in the ice.
Trapped in the ice.
I'm not who I've been presenting.
Okay. So how do I help?
You must free me from the ice.
These are not very good instructions. I'm
She has trapped me here in the ice.
Oh, Oriel. Right. Okay.
I must be free.
I can hook you up with some of that sweet, sweet freedom you're after. For the low price of me getting the out of here and to wherever my friends be.
That can be done. And
yeah?
Power can be given.
Ah. Okay. So how do I actually free you? How
you
do I get you out of the ice?
Free me from the ice.
Okay. I'll figure out the details on my own time, I guess. All right.
Yes, you will.
Yep.
Do you wish power, Graham?
Yes, I wish power.
Do you wish to become one of my chosen?
I will become one. Does it get me out of here?
Yes, Grant.
Well, then, yes. I am gladly going to become one of your chosen. Friend.
Close your eyes and think upon our bond. We are joined. Welcome to the Chosen, Gra.
Thank you. So, now I just kind of will my way out of here, or what?
The world cracks apart around you like ice shattering. The image that you are faced with is utterly destroyed. You open your eyes and you are literally inches away, millimeters away from an enormous pickaxe. It withdraws from the ice again, crashing down on your face, which explodes around, and you're in an icy tomb. facing against a tiny white kobold who is swinging an axe, trying to release you from the icy embrace of the ice. He looks up at you and goes, "All right, are you alive, mate? Are you alive?"
"It's just stop flinging the axe. I think you've made it through. I can do the rest on my own now. Can I?" "What?
Bloody hell,
I try
mate.
To do a strength check and see if I can break free."
"Yeah, absolutely. Give me that strength check."
"Oh no, I've got minus one on strength."
"Yeah, I was like, you forgot you were a rogue. Like, don't say strength, say anything else."
He's like, "Keep swinging, keep swinging."
I've rolled a one, so I'm definitely stuck. I'm like, "Yeah, okay, so keep swinging."
"One, you're rolled a zero. One, you're rolled
one
a zero.
Minus one. You got a zero.
Are you sure, mate? I think I could probably do it better with this axe, but if you want to struggle away there for a little bit, we've got..." And he kind of like pulls out this tiny pocket watch from his cloak. "Oh, bloody hell, no, we don't have time. Quick." And he smashes the axe into the ice again, freeing you. Curiously, the ice does not feel cold at all. Just, it feels, in fact, the whole area under this frozen cave feels like a warm summer's day. You are now immune to cold damage.
Okay.
Right, Graham, you don't know how long I've been trying to break open this bloody statue. I think they're dead. But you look like you had a bit of life in you." And he's pointing around where there are dozens of statues, all frozen solid, people inside blocks of ice.
"Are these all people who've tried to become like Oriel's chosen?"
"I don't know, mate. You tell me."
"Wow, that's my guess. So where are we? Like..."
"What do you mean, where are we? We're in bloody Solstice."
"Solstice?
The Oriel's... come on, follow me. We haven't got long. Yeah. She'll be back in a minute."
Okay. Let's go."
And he leads you out of the cave and down a long, twisting corridor. "This place is like a bloody maze. I've been here for over a week. Ever since Valen died by his bloody cult of Levistus. Mm-hmm. They killed her and they're causing all sorts of trouble. Nearly everyone's dead, mate, in Brian Shander. There's no food and it's got really bloody cold. I know it's been cold over the last 2 years, but it's really bloody cold now. You wouldn't believe it."
"So yeah, we need to end this."
"Yeah, but we haven't got long. Like, I come here every night at midnight. I try and explore the castle looking for that codicil thing, the codicil, you know, Oriel's magic book. Mm-hmm. But I can only be here when Oriel's not here. So when she goes off casting her bloody spell, right, I come here and I explore the castle and then I get out sharpish before she comes back. She doesn't like people exploring this place."
"Okay, well, isn't she aware of your presence here?"
"Well, no, she's off, you know, on the back of that bloody bird, that rock thing."
"Yeah, not a rock.
She's doing busy stuff, isn't she? So I come in here, I do some exploring. I think I might have come across a clue."
"What have you found?"
"Well, other than your frozen ass, kind of got a bit distracted trying to free you because obviously you were one of Valen's friends."
"Yeah."
"Anyway, this way." And he leads you up to like a completely solid wall. "Right, you're going to have to hold my hand."
Yeah, I'm gonna grab his hand. He feels rather weird and clammy. I'm like, what?
"Yeah, it's a claw. It was a claw more than a hand."
Yeah.
"Right, you have to bend down a bit. I need to flick my cloak over your head."
"Okay."
"And I'm gonna spin around, right? And as I spin, you're gonna have to spin with me. Like, imagine you're dancing, but I am leading, right?"
"Okay. Yeah. I put my hands on his hip. I'm like,
no. Oh, that might work actually. That's good. Just duck down, right down.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm ducking.
And we're gonna go this way, counterclockwise.
Okay, counterclockwise. You work out. This is quite firm, right?"
"I do actually. That's thanks good. For noticing. People don't say that. Like, it doesn't really show, but under the scales. But yeah, I do.
Is that Pilates? What is?
It's not actually. But anyway, he ducks down and he sort of grabs onto your shoulder and with his other hand he spins the cloak over your head as he turns you in a circle. And as you step, you are surrounded with mist and you appear outside on the frozen wasteland of Oriel's Island. Clever trick, right? It's like misty step cloak. It's pretty cool. Anyway, we've got...
That was pretty awesome. Gotta give it to you.
We're going to do it again anyway. We're going to have to do it a few times because it's quite a ways down. He's pointing down the hundreds of feet down the mountain. Yeah. Right, come on. And he spins around. around and again. This happens like 3, 4, 5 times until you're on the edge of the island, and he points up at a rickety-looking hot air balloon, a zeppelin. Yeah. Right, that's where we're going. I made it.
You're
for
a zeppelin.
Me. Well, yeah.
I'm going to give a pat on the back. I'm like, you are very resourceful. You
know? Well, I won't take all credit, because it was a lot of this stuff was like Valen's plan. Like, she had a plan for this. Then she met you guys, and you seemed pretty good. And so, and then she died. Because have you come across the cult of Levistus?
You guys were pretty good, and then
she
died.
We fucked up. We fucked up so badly. She died immediately after meeting us.
Anyway, right. I made this zeppelin for my size. So if you stand up straight and we misty step up there, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna, I don't even know what happens if you're like half in and half out of the zeppelin when we arrive. Like, who knows? So you gotta duck right down, right?
Okay, I'm ducking right down.
Okay, and go. And he spins. And I need you to do me a acrobatics to check to see
okay.
if you duck down low enough.
Come on.
Dancing.
25.
Nice.
That's 18 okay. plus 7, yeah.
So you appear inside this homely cabin within the zeppelin floating off the coast of Oriel's Island. And Elijah sits down on this tiny bed and goes, right, so that was successful. Saved you. That's taken a yeah. few goddamn days, you know. How long have you been trapped in that ice? Did you get caught by Oriel?
No, yeah, I think I failed her trial. Trial of exhaustion.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah. I
You need to
I
be doing the Pilates,
said, fuck
mate.
It, and then I died, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds rough. Yeah. Doesn't sound very fair, that.
No, it wasn't.
I don't want to talk about it.
So, anyway, I'll tell you my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to cut the camera to the other three who are about to take on the trial of cruelty. So, Kestra, Zelfiz, and Gon, you arrive on a frozen wasteland. Looking up, the rime has taken place, the cloud cover is deep, and you are in the gloomy darkness that you've existed in for the last 2.5, almost 3 years. All the other trials happened before Oriel cast her spell. Whatever the nature of this trial, it's happening after that spell is cast. You glance around over the kind of endless tundra, and you see in the distance a burning fire. It has been piled high, and even at this distance, and you say a good mile away, it's visible. It's in the center of a circle of red-haired nomad tents. Looking at each other, you are no longer yourselves, but you are the frozen corpses that represent Oriel's messengers. Your eyes glow with this fiery lightning, and your bodies are black and purple with frozen cold.
If this is the aesthetic we get when we become a father, I'm not sure I want to be a follower anymore.
I mean, the eyes are cool, but the body...
Well, everything's
so
cool. I mean, we're followers of a cold goddess, to be fair. Everything's cool.
Anyway, looks like we...
To be honest, I'm not so impressed with the eyes either. I mean, I can do that with my spells.
I can.
This is not a time for showing off. It's like... It's
Stop
really
bragging.
So what do you think we've got to do? I mean, it looks like the cruelty's already been taken care of.
Is this like a giant pyre of people, like, raising and burning stuff, or does it keep warm, Joe?
It's difficult to tell at this distance, but from what you can see, there are two concentric circles of tents, and in the center is a much larger tent, and this fire is being built outside that larger tent. And it does look like there's a gap, a pathway between all the circles of tents, and that pathway is lined with smaller fires, maybe torches, maybe just sort of small pyres upon the ground. But it doesn't look like a pyre, or it doesn't look like people are being burnt on it. It just looks like an enormous, maybe a beacon.
Well, okay. I guess let's go investigate.
Yeah, I mean, let's try and figure out if it's a specific cruelty or just like willy-nilly bad stuff.
Well, I'll start walking towards the tent.
I'll plod along beside him, I guess.
Okay, so you get within 50 feet. Oh, Kestra, are you going to walk with them as well?
Yeah.
So the three of you get within about 50 feet, and you see that silhouetted against the fire, there are 20 figures standing high, despite the blizzard that's raging around you and them. In front of them are kneeling three figures. They seem to be tied hand and foot. As they see you approach, each one of the 20 stands a little higher and a little prouder, and one steps forward. You notice that all the tents themselves are decorated with the pattern or even the skin of the tiger. And each of the red-haired nomads are also decorated, particularly the woman who stands at the front in tiger skins.
Does she have a scar on her face?
Give me a perception roll.
Good shout, Niall. Notes pays off, lads. Notes pays off.
That wasn't notes. That was just memory on. I'm a genius. eight plus five, I got 13.
Genius, not very aware of anything, genius nonetheless.
With a 13, and because this is very, very well lit, despite
he has glowy eyes too. Don't forget,
yeah.
And you've got the glowy eyes thing, so her face is horribly scarred, yeah, on one side.
Okay, well, it looks like the girl we rescued is here, guys. I will say under my breath to the other two followers of Oreo that are with me. Because, yeah.
So as you make your way through this line of torches past all the tents, you notice that the 20 figures standing in front of you, despite how tall and proud they are standing, are not looking well. Their cheeks and any exposed skin is blackened with frostbite, and they don't look as hearty or as strong as the barbarians that maybe you've encountered. Maybe underfed, maybe struggling with the cold, but either way, they don't look like they're faring well. The queen stands forward and says, "Welcome, messengers of Oriel. My name is Bjornhild, Solvig's daughter. We have for you your sacrifice, our elders, the weak, those who cannot endure. Take them."
I look at the followers that Zalfiz and Kestra are now.
You're still about 30 foot away.
So, like, this is kind of just directed at my two companions more than the others.
What do you think Oriel would want?
I mean, sacrifice those people to die, probably.
I mean, yeah, I guess. This is not going to paint me in the best light, but sacrificing three people who are going to die anyway, is that passing a cruelty trial?
I guess we can go ahead and find out.
Kestra, could you give me a perception roll? As you step forward, you notice that there's the three people stood in front of them, two men and a woman.
Seven. She's not great at perception.
We're not a very perceptive bunch.
And let's not talk about disadvantage we should be rolling.
Oh, of course,
yeah.
That's the point. Here comes the natural one.
Oops.
Oh, that was a way better roll, but no, still seven.
Stick with the seven. So you recognize the woman. She seems awfully familiar, but you can't place where from.
Is this one of those things where, like, people give themselves willingly as sacrifices because they think it's going to help, or is this like a...
Well, a lot of 10 towns have a lottery, so it's not really willing, but, like, it's accepted that this is just your time to go. It's like a prison sentence, I guess.
But this isn't the 10 towns. This is the Righead tribe. Is it the Righead tribe?
Correct. It's... But all of this... Sorry, what?
It's the tribe of the tiger.
All of the Dale, wherever settlements are or aren't around, have food, fuel, firstborn, so like weird stuff to give up to Oriel to. I'm not sure why, because it hasn't subsided any of the issues.
We said the whole thing about a narcissistic goddess before, you know. I don't think it really matters if the tribute does anything, just that they think that it does.
What if we... I'll say this just to the two of you. What if we tell, like, that's clearly the girl that we saved as a baby that rescued Oriel, that resurrected her. This is a trial of cruelty. What if we tell her that Oriel has abandoned her and no longer needs her? Surely that's cruel, considering she's literally given her life to this.
Oh, that's mean. You want to like psychologically be cruel? I mean, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess you've kind of paused as you shuffle along and you're having this conversation. So the queen steps even further and goes, "Is our sacrifice not good enough for you?"
Well, your sacrifice is willing.
You ask if we give up our elders, my mother, willingly. Yes.
I ask if they were
sacrificed
willing.
She looks down at the three. I mean, they're not that old, but I guess survival for nomads is harsh even the best of times. They are tied hand and foot, but they are staring you in with defiance.
They're tied hand and foot just for ease of transport as opposed to stopping them escaping.
Ease of throwing them into the fire, you know?
So
it's already happened.
And I've been in the Dales for 2 or 3 years, and I've done research on what's caused all the issues with Oriel and her rock and the spell and everything else. Would I have heard of any legends or tales of years ago that started all this that might, you know, involve with the sacrifice of a giant fire of tribes people?
Give me history roll. Yeah.
Hooray. History is +8. Hello. Oh, 1 second. Roll 20 has decided to reload for me, which is nice.
Bear or religion, with me. If you prefer. Both work.
No. History +8 will do.
I was like, nope. No religion
nope,
for
100%,
me.
100%. Get lost, don't change your mind. Says rolling.
What?
Oh man, roll 20 is the worst.
Oh, keeping there we go. The oh!
I kind of have to roll.
Roll.
I have to roll that's again, really don't good. I? So 27 or 22.
Oh,
yay!
Nice.
Okay. Holy I'm shit. A history boy.
So, despite your kind of frozen and befuddled mind, you can recall some facts. So, specifically, what was it you were looking for?
To see if I'd heard any stories or legends or like bard's tales of some crazy sacrifice to some tribes people that empowered Oriel, I guess.
So the Redhead Nobles, nomads, I'm not sure if you've worked with them or like you've strolled around them, but because you've lived in the Dale for some time, you almost certainly would have bumped into them. And they aren't savages. Some of them are more savages than the others, but they do have their own traditions, their own religions, and they tend to follow Tempus, the god of war, who demands death in battle and glory, that kind of sort of almost in our world the Viking style. But there's no, you don't know anything about blood sacrifices. However, Oriel, particularly before she took over the north and started her rhyme, wasn't really a god that was worshipped, but more feared. So sacrifices, whether they were of food or of heat or of people, are made more out of fear in the hope of pacifying her or placating her than really of hope of power, or that she has very few clerics, as it were. But what you're seeing before you, like you've already kind of made a reference to, is maybe a version of what was being done in the Ten Towns. And I think that's probably worth inspiration for picking up something that happened about 3 months ago in real life.
Joe's just so impressed I remember anything about any prior thing. He's like, give him inspiration.
Owen has a memory. Inspiration.
thank you very much. Screw you and your scared faces now, Ned.
Where's my inspiration?
Guys, look, how about we just kill these three people, and hopefully that fulfills the trial.
It's worth saying that in these bodies, your voices are coming out as, "All right, guys, let's just kill these three people." Like, it's you horribly can... twisted and grating.
You can continue to do that for us, Joe.
No, it's fine. I'm just painting the picture.
I mean, okay. I'm okay with this so far. Let's do it.
I mean, come look. What's the last trial we've got to do again, Joe?
It's already happened.
Isolation.
Endurance.
Hold on.
The last
one
is isolation.
Yeah. Oh, the last one we have to do is isolation.
Look, Gan, if you're not okay with this, I can do it and see, because...
This is something that's already happened, Zelfis, and whatever we do isn't going to change it.
I was just going to trade isolation for this, but okay.
The last trial we did, we followed history, and it worked.
So let's not put anything out of place here. It won't change anything in our time.
We're going to back to the future our way into trouble, are we?
Yeah. Let's go.
I guess we're going to go, like, Zalfiz is whatever
it
is.
We have to throw them into the fire? Surely other people will do it for us.
They seem, the nomads are all shuffling a bit. They're sort of confused by how you're stood frozen in the middle of this path, and they're waiting. They're all looking to you and back to the queen and to you, but the queen is standing strong behind the three sacrifices and waiting for you three.
Okay.
Accept your sacrifices.
She kisses her hand and places it on the head of the woman in the center of the group, turns round and walks into the tent behind her. The other nomads look at you, and you think they're looking at you in disgust, and they just turn around and walk away, leaving the three sacrifices staring at the three of you defiantly.
Can Kestra walk up to the woman, the one that was this, the queen's mother? And like, thinking that there was something familiar, now that she's closer to her face and can kind of bend down to look at her, does she look like the woman that we heard with the lyre singing the song back in the chamber?
No, she doesn't. But you think that in fact, give me a perception roll. I think it's going to need a roll.
Come on, dice.
There we go. Oh, wait, a disadvantage.
Ten. It's better than it was last time.
You think that the ghost is definitely not the woman standing or kneeling in front of you.
Okay, Kestra won't say anything. She'll just stand back up. How are we supposed to sacrifice them? Like, I don't know if it would be fire. Auriel's a goddess that causes ice. Wouldn't freezing to death be crueler?
I mean, I'm not one for roleplay. I'm a very practical kind of guy. But if I was a twisted husk of a follower of Auriel, I feel like that disrespected him walking away.
Should we call them back?
Well, I
call the queen back.
Can I shout out? we don't know this woman's name, do we?
Yeah, she introduced herself as Bjornhild, Solvig's daughter.
Okay.
Bjorni.
Bjornhild, come back. You have to see through what you've chosen to do.
Your voice is raspy and dry, almost like, well, the voice of the dead. And as you look around you, you realize you can no longer see the sky. All above you, all around you is darkness. And that darkness is slowly enclosing on you and the camp.
Kestra will go to the tent then and pull the tent flap back and just say, you will watch.
You pull the tent back and you see a strange sight. For although the queen stood tall and strong, she kneels at the back of the tent, looking into a book bound in hide, and she is crying.
Is this the notebook that we saw in the last trial?
It is, yeah.
Tear up the book and kick her in the face. Cruelty.
I wish we had Graham here.
Kestra will swallow hard and repeat herself. You will come and watch.
Zalfir's and gone. You look behind you and you see that this darkness is enclosing faster and faster, and it has already met the first line of tents and is probably only about 30 feet away. Kestra, okay. The woman looks up at you with tear-stained eyes, her teeth gritted, and she nods. She closes the book and attaches it to a side, like it's on almost like a satchel around on a string of leather. And she looks at you, and as she looks at you, you recognize where you saw her. She was the ghost that you saw crying. Meanwhile, outside, Zalfir's and gone, this blackness is getting closer and closer.
Look, Gunn, I'm not going to die and join Graham, so this is happening. And I'm going to just grab the weediest looking one and toss him on the fire.
So as you grab him...
I'm not ready to die.
Your cold seeps into him. He grits his teeth. He stares at you, shivering, and then he can't hold it any longer. His mouth opens and he lets out an agonized scream. The skin around his arms that you are holding is blackening and freezing, and piece by piece, he is enclosed in ice. Mm. And he drops to the ground, a frozen husk.
To avoid that horrible scream, I will touch the next person on the head.
Oh, that's brain freeze. But death by brain freeze seems way worse than dying by a cold hand.
Do you wish to do the woman or the man?
I'll do it to the man, because the woman is clearly Bjornhild's mother. And I feel like that's the one that should be done last.
He gasps and again grits his teeth. And as the ice encloses his head, he lets out one final scream, and then his breath is cut off as he is enclosed, and again he drops the ground.
Look over himself. Maybe we should start with her throat. That scream is horrible.
I mean, look, it's not going to be great no matter what way we do it.
I'd say Joe's going to make him scream no matter what you do.
Joe has screams on the mind, and that's it.
Yes.
Just remember, this has already happened, Gunn.
And then Zalfis steps back and go ahead.
Sorry, Kestra, what can you say?
Right. Can Kestra lead the woman out? And the sacrifices are kneeling in front of the fire, right? Kestra's going to guide her round, stand so that she's got her back to the fire, but is facing her mother.
Okay.
And will say to Zalfis, we don't like the scream, but this is a trial of cruelty.
I'll say to Kestra,
that is the woman, and she'll say quietly to the both of them, that is the woman who is playing the song, as she points at the queen.
She's also the one who we've been following this whole time.
And I'm sure if she ever finds out that we've killed her mother, this won't come back to bite us, but I guess we gotta do this.
And I go to touch her on the shoulder, I guess.
The mother?
Yeah.
She tries to get away from your touch, gasping and then screaming a brittle scream that breaks the silence, and it is cut off sharply as the ball of darkness that's enclosing you swallows you all, and you find yourself falling until you thud into the ground and you're back. In the hallway, you are yourselves, and the doorway has a final rune of isolation.
Zelfiz gets up and kind of dusts off his shoulder and goes, all things considered, that was relatively easy.
I expected worst. But...
Maybe isolation is just like waiting in a bus stop, like just hanging out. Like just, they're getting easier, progressively easier.
What's a bus?
I'm sure they have buses in fantasy worlds, right?
Yeah, like libraries.
It's like a zeppelin on wheels.
What?
Bus is a Roman word. Bus is a Roman word. Like it's an ancient thing. It makes sense fantasy wise to me.
What's a Roman?
What's fantasy?
And let's move the camera back to.
It's gotta be buses in D&D. You're kidding me, Liz. They've got
buses. What are they like? Seven horses pulling a big, massive carriage or something? I don't know why it's seven, but.
There was literally like highwaymen and coaches, and the coaches would go between. I mean, it just wasn't called a bus. Anyway, Graham. You spend a fitful night recovering, and you can recover one level of exhaustion, and it counts as a long rest, so you can return yourself to full hit points.
Okay. So
you are woken with the smell of coffee as Elijah strolls before you. All right, just mind your head, mate, because there's not much room in that little cubby hole.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
It's late. You've been asleep for like almost, what, I don't know, 18 hours. We haven't got long before we need to leave.
But I feel much, much better. What was your name again?
Elijah Bold.
Oh, Elijah. I remember you. You good kobold. Right.
Anyway, I thought I'd show you something. I don't know if you've seen this before.
What is it?
Well, come here. And he leads you over to a porthole. The bottom of this boat, right? I painted it grey so it doesn't really stand out amongst the clouds, you know? And he taps his head. You know what I was thinking? But if you look out down there, there's a boat. It's got all them, their coat of the black, what are they called? Knights of the Black Ice or something. Anyway, they're the followers of Levistus. And they're here. Look, you can have a look. I've managed to get us above them.
Right. Levistus. What do you know about Levistus?
Well, he's like this demon, innit? Like, was he a devil? I always get them both confused. I think he's a devil, actually. Like, he pissed off he pissed off the Lord of the Nine Hells, and as punishment, he was sealed in a block of ice, right? Like as tall, as big as a mountain.
Okay.
And he doesn't like it in there, so he's got this cult, right? Like me and Valen, we trapped one of them and we questioned him. He's got this cult, right, that work for him, the Knights of the Black Ice.
Yeah.
And they they're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to do, to be honest, but they've come here to the island. And look, if you look out, they've got this boat, right? And you look through the porthole and you do see a huge galleon below, an icebreaker, currently ironically trapped in the ice. But you do see these sort of robed figures swarming below it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, like, a couple of gargoyles as well.
Okay. See, I think I might be working for the same people as them.
You what?
Nothing.
You having a laugh, mate?
Yeah, I'm having a bit of a laugh. Anyway, where are we going?
I think you're going to need to roll deception.
No problem, yeah. One second, where is my deception?
My deception is on his
plus eight.
Is it sense motive in 5e? I'm so bad. Insight.
There's no sense motive.
See what
insight.
I get.
Insight.
So 26.
Where he's like, oh, ha ha, that's funny, right? You do realize these people are nasty folk.
Nasty? Well, yeah.
They're
okay.
Not too bright, though. Like, they keep on, they don't seem to notice. They don't seem to know. Well, they probably do now because half of them have died. But they don't know you're not meant to come to this island if Oriole's here. And there's there's a whole load of frozen bodies all over the island where they've come here, and Oriole's like smited them. Was it smote? Smote them down.
Smote them, yeah.
But I think they've
got a bunch of losers.
Right. If you look, they've got their little boats and they're doing what we're doing. They're getting ready to go and explore the island.
Yeah. So we should probably steer clear of them, right?
Well, anyway, I was going to tell you before you fell asleep, I've got a plan, right? I don't want to do them trials. I don't think I'd get past that cruelty one. I'm not a cruel person. Like, I'm a goblin. No, I'm a kobold, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're dragons and things, but I'm not that nasty. I don't find... Anyway, but there's this ghost. I've seen her. And she's got a codicil. I've seen it. It's like this book on her.
Sure?
Yeah. But. She's fast. And every time she appears in a different place. And when she spots me, right, she just runs off. And then she runs through walls and all sorts. But I reckon if we, like, sneak up on her, grab it, or find out where she runs to, because she always runs to the same place. If we can find out where she runs to, that's where the codicil is. When we've got the codicil, we can crack open a glacier and find that city thing and, you know, end this rhyme.
That sounds like a plan, Elijah. Look him right in the eye. I'm like, let's do this.
I like you. Your friends, they were kind of dickheads, but you...
Yeah. They're not as game as I am, let's just face it.
Didn't he kill you? Let's go.
Maybe.
Anyway, so are you going to do the cloak thing again, or do you want to try something else?
No, we'll do the cloak thing. It's all good. I think I'm pretty good at this now as well. So I squat down and we spin.
And one and two and three
on the island.
my little dance partner.
And you do your two-step through the frozen wasteland. There was a moment where you land in that frozen garden. You see those beautiful statues of all the different creatures that Aurelia's captured in time. And then up to the castle, the ice giant castle, and through the walls. And you appear in a room, one that you recognize. You've traveled through it before. It's about two rooms away from the frost giant guard, the enormous creature that stood on his throne, sat on his throne asleep. Right, it's this way, but there's this huge frost giant, right? And we don't want to wake him up.
We just sneak past him.
A couple of them cultists, they woke him up. They weren't quiet enough.
Shit.
And I mean, I've seen some people die before, but right, in fact, let's just dance our way through. We'll get that's the best way.
We're just gonna, okay, one, two, step.
Yeah, one and two, one and two.
Right, so you arrive back in the feast hall. And there's the passageway that leads down the mighty steps to the enormous room, which leads off to the trials. Or there's some steps which go up into the castle. You've never been that way. And he goes, right, she sometimes appears down there. And when she does, she plays that harp thing. But she also sometimes appears up there as well. The problem with up there... That's where Oriol lives. Well, it's where she, like, sleeps during the day. It's like a nest or something. And then above Oriol, there's her rock. There's this really big nest where Oriol's rock is.
She puts her rock in a nest?
They've gone. They've already left. Yeah, it's like a big... Are you not understanding? Like, it's R-O-C and R-O-C-K. Like, it's not like a big rock that she just humps along. I know that. Like,
I was just making sure you knew it. Yeah. So, you know.
You've got a funny sense of humor.
All right, Elijah. Well, let's not get into this. So, I think we probably hedge our bets and go up top. What do you think? Well, you said she's not here.
That's a good point. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, if Ariel's not here, let's pop upstairs, right? So.
And as you sort of stroll towards the mighty staircase, he says, oh, you know your friends are downstairs.
Yeah, but they're in a trial, aren't they?
Well, that's what I thought, because I was going to break them out first, but then I remembered that they weren't that nice to me, but also they didn't look dead.
Yeah, no, they're...
Whereas when I saw those imps, like, carrying or dragging you across, I figured, you know, maybe... Anyway, it worked out.
It's fine. So, we'll head another... So, you've been up here before? What do you think of of her crib?
I told you, I've been here for weeks,
mate. Is it good? She got a good situation going?
Well, not really. And he leads you up these, and he's just like using his cloak to just misty step up. And I guess you can either do it with him, or you can use your earring to walk.
Yeah, I'll just use the earring. I'm walking.
And he leads you through a maze of corridors. He's like, just keep your ear out, because sometimes that ghost sometimes appears around here, but you just got to listen for her music. And you can give me a perception roll.
I'm just trying to remember how much my perception is. Zero modifier, just a raw 20.
Yeah, that must be the only thing you have on zero.
Do you hear anything?
I don't hear anything.
And he leads you into an enormous bedchamber.
Mm-hmm.
There is like one of those canopy beds, you know, that has the curtains and things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all rotting and it's enormous. I reckon this was where the frost giant queen lived, right? But have you seen all this? This is like everywhere. There's all over this place. And he points at the walls where intricate designs have been carved. I don't know what any of this means, but I think that, and he points to what looks like an owlbear, I think that's meant to be Oriole, because obviously that's what she looks like.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know who these guys are.
Can I try and interpret it in some way?
Yeah, so it shows Oriole at the center of what looks like a climactic battle between herself and three other figures.
Mm-hmm.
One is in the sky, with kind of storms and lightning wreathing him. One is on the ground and looks like a beast. And the other one is in the sea, in the oceans, and is launching this enormous harpy. But yeah, if you want to give me a religion roll.
I don't think I've ever rolled religion. that's a plus two. Nice. I think I know something about this. I rolled a nat 20.
You said you weren't religious.
Well, you know, some things come easy to me. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, when in your character's past, when might you have learned about the religion of the realms?
When I was stealing other people's communion. Or like when they go around handing around a dish full of money, I take some out, other people put some in. There's no...
You got to listen to some of the stuff while you're waiting around.
Yeah.
Well, these would have been specifically either you've kind of infiltrated cults and stolen all their shit, or maybe you've been in, you know, something like a good holy church, and they've been talking about the evils of the other terrible gods, because these three gods are evil. This is Talos, who's the Lord of Thunder. Malor, who's the Lord of the Hunt and of Beasts, and Umberly, the Lord, the Queen of the Sea, also known as the Bitch Queen.
The Sea Bitch, wasn't it?
It's actually in the Forgotten. I looked at after last stream. I actually looked it up. It's literally in the Forgotten. She's the Sea Bitch. But in the drawings, the carvings, it looks like they're all attacking her, but bouncing off a shield, as if where she stands, no gods can touch her. And with that incredible roll, you actually look up and there's another figure who is depicted. And this is Eo, the god of gods, the creator. And if you believe the carvings, it implies that Eo cannot penetrate the shield that Oriole has created.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't think it means anything. It's just like pretty pictures and stuff. You know how like holy books, like, you know, they draw like a lion and someone falling asleep there. It doesn't mean anything. It's just nonsense. It's just them trying to get, you know, money from people.
You know, you're smarter than you look, Elijah. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, right?
But if you are interested in a god, like I worship this platinum dragon, right? And he is so badass. Like if you want to join a cult, like not a cult, like a religion, this one is a good one.
I do like what you're pitching here. So platinum dragon, did you say?
Yeah. He's really good and he's shiny and he's all about like just being, I'll tell you about it anyway. There's nothing in here. This is just where she sleeps. I think it's okay. Obviously I haven't been there during the day.
Yeah, we wouldn't risk that. Do you think we should go see the nest? Is it possible for us to get up there?
You having a laugh? All right then.
Just take a look. I mean, what's the harm? Right, one, two, step.
Okay. So you work up through a network of passages onto the roof, the crown of this fortress. And it's literally a crown. This fortress is carved out of the ice. It's a skull with this, like, many-pointed crown. Mm-hmm. And built upon the crown is an enormous nest of gigantic proportions. This thing is absolutely huge. And the wind is howling around you, and Elijah is like wrapping himself up in his little cloak and be like, yeah, well, this is cold, right?
I'm opening my coat up and revealing my chest, going, oh, the fresh air.
You are a funny guy, right? But you don't even look cold.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to open aren't up hard at all.
I'm going to have to open up the book here because there is actually stuff. I'm sure if I remember reading this, that there is stuff in this nest. You're going to have to give me a minute to look it up.
I can't believe you didn't think mentioning a nest and Kern. Oh, there's no way he'll go there. Like, what? How long have you been with Kern?
Yeah.
Oh, there's descriptions. All right. So the icy crown encircling the fortress doubles as a battlemented rooftop. Each prong of the crown extends 40 feet above the roofline. The prongs have 10-foot wide gaps between them. Situated in the middle of the roof is a nest almost 30 foot in diameter. And there's stuff in the nest. Give me an investigation roll. You can see what's in it.
Okay.
A giant bird turd is all you're going to get.
My investigation is plus 8, so I might find something.
And you can roll with advantage, because Elijah's helping.
Is he not exhausted like us?
No, he died. He didn't take
He's had a long rest.
Oh, yeah, he didn't get exhausted. I forgot. He refused to get exhausted.
Oh, I got a nat 20, so I got 28.
Give me all the things.
Okay. Oh my god.
You find a baby rock to take home with you. It's great.
Well, you say that. There is a 5 foot tall, 150 pound silvery egg.
That's not a rock egg, mate. That's a dragon egg.
Ooh.
That's I'll a silver that. Dragon egg.
Oh my
you
god.
Think you think your platinum dragon would like it?
He would. That's amazing. All right. Right, I mean, it's 150 pounds.
Does Kuren have to get a pet reptile in every game he plays?
Oh, mate, you should call it Greg.
Oh, no, I'm going to put my hand on the shell and see if I can sense whether it's any way near hatching.
Okay, so you can roll me 3d10. Let's find out how soon this is going to hatch. Okay.
That's 3d10?
Yep.
All right.
Come on, tree wards.
Like, this is going to be every 23,000 years. I got to catch up.
23. That's like the highest like D10 roll that you ever wanted. Like,
you don't think it's that close to hatching? But can you just
sit on it for 23 days?
Mm-hmm. You found some other stuff as well. There's a carved harp of exotic wood with an ivory inlay and zircon gemstones, which is worth money. There's an electrum chain with a bloodstone pendant, and there's also a wooden sea chest covered in bird droppings and sealed with a heavy padlock.
Well, I'm going to pick that padlock.
Let's find out what's inside.
Yeah.
I'll get in there. I take out my thieves' tools and I.
Yeah, give me that sleight of hand.
Yes, you converted to the cult of the platinum dragon. You're starting to sound like the kobold.
I guess that's
infectious, right? Once you start, you can't stop.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, that's good enough. So inside, there is a gold ring with a black pearl set into it that's shaped like a whirlpool. Mm-hmm. And there's a scroll as well.
So I put the ring on and I pocket the scroll. I'm like, there was nothing in here, Elijah. Jesus. These stupid places. So I think we need to go look for that lady because we still need to get that. I don't know what, you know, let's just say we know the dragon egg is here. I'd say we've got about 22-ish days to come back and then this will hatch and then we leave on the back of the dragon. What do you think?
Right. I have an idea, right? Mm-hmm. Either we go downstairs again, we try and hunt for that ghost.
Yeah.
Or we've got like an hour. He looks around. Yeah, like about an hour. We go get the airship and we fish out this dragon egg.
Do you think you could do that in an hour?
I think it would be close.
You'd be cutting it close?
I think it would be really close. But it's a dragon egg.
You know what? Elijah, look me in the eye. No distractions. Look me in the eye.
Go on.
Let's do this. Let's do this. I'm with you, boy. Let's go. Yeah, okay.
And one, and two, and three, and four.
I need a whole spin-off of Adventures of Graham and Elijah.
Going around looking for dragon eggs, just trying to appease the silver.
Is this a good time to take a quick 10-minute break, and then we will return to find out exactly what happens with the test of Elijah, the test of isolation, and Elijah and Graham on their adventures. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where we will leave tonight's stream. So again, thank you all for playing. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you everyone for watching us live. And thank you everyone at home for listening when this goes out as a podcast. My name is Joe Tritt. If you want to find more of me, you can find me at Joe the GM on Twitter, or you can find me at How We Roll Podcast. We have loads of games on How We Roll, including Rime of the Frost Maiden, Curse of Strahd, and tons and tons of Call of Cthulhu. So please do check that out. Owen, thank you so much for playing. It's been great. How can people find more of you?
People can find more of me everywhere on the internet as How We Roll Owen, which is, for people on the podcast, Owen is spelled E-O-G-H-A-N because Irish names. I won't be very active on Twitch for about a month because my computer is kind of after kicking it. So I'm waiting on one to get delivered. But you can get me on Twitch, on Twitter. I'm also on the How We Roll, Does It Roll Discords. So feel free to hit me up in any of those places.
Amazing. Thank you. And Niall, but again, thank you so much for playing. How can people find more of you?
I'm Niall. You can find me on the How We Roll Discord, on the Does It Roll Discord, and HWR Podcast Niall on Twitter.
Fantastic. Curran, again, that was a blast. Yeah. How can people find more of you?
It's a lot of fun. If you want to find me, you can find me on the various Discords that have been previously mentioned. You can also find me on the How We Roll Two-Headed Serpent campaign as Ethan, the South African big game hunter. And he's got a little dinosaur in that one, so hoping to get another one here. Right. Other than that, you find me on Twitter. Yeah, that's Curran underscore J. So that's K-U-R-A-N underscore J.
Thank you so much. And Virginia, again, thank you for joining us. That was really good fun.
But yeah, no, thank you for having me on. It's been really awesome to get to come back and play in this campaign because y'all are all awesome.
Absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Cheers.
You can find me on
You're wrong,
Twitter.
But thanks. sorry, go on.
Then I will sit here in my wrongness and be wrong. yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Tabletop Horde. Twitter, I just ramble and post about things. And Twitch, you can find me. Tomorrow I'm doing Walking Dead, where I basically just get really sassy about the zombie apocalypse and everyone's terrible life choices. And every other Friday, I usually play some other game, normally Siege, but who knows?
Amazing. Thank you. And last, but by no means least, thank you so much, Arama, for doing everything that you do. Where can people find more of you?
You can find more of what I do at Vartian, that's V-A-R-T-I-A-N, on Twitter. And also, you'll find stuff I can do through the Does It Roll Network.